Lord, we thank you that you love us with a tireless love that never runs out. Father God, as we come to your word now, may it breathe life into our spirits and our very beings. Let it bring life, Lord, and as we respond, Lord God, let it bring a sense of lightness. And Lord, give us hope this morning. Give us hope and a future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're in, again, Acts chapter 9 this morning, in the second half of Acts chapter 9, starting at verse 32. So if you've got a Bible, you might want to turn there, because we'll be looking at that passage quite a bit. But as we've been going through the book of Acts, there's been two verses I keep bringing us back to, sort of to track with us on this journey. And those are this. First one is Galatians 5:25, which reminds us, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That the book of Acts is about the church going forth into the world, that Jesus has commissioned us to go, and he's empowered us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, if we're going to journey and be people who are an Acts people, we have to be reminded that the Bible teaches us and tells us, if we live by the Spirit, i.e. the Spirit of God puts life in us, then we've got to walk in step with that. We can't just go, oh, I'm saved now, that's lovely, and then carry on and doing our own thing. That actually, if we are going to be people who are saved and are walking in the power of the Spirit, we've got to be in step with the Spirit. But also, we've been looking at the verses from James, which remind us, but don't just listen to God's word, you must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. Basically saying, don't just hear stuff, put it into practice. And the book of Acts is about the early disciples and the early followers of Jesus putting into practice what they saw Jesus doing. What Jesus taught them to do, they did. And so as Christians and believers, our expectation is that we're going to do what Jesus did. So when you read the Bible and you look at what he did, look at the hope that he brought, the truth that he preached, the miracles that he performed, the expectation is that's what our lives look like. That's the expectation. And so when our lives don't look like that, there's a problem there. And we need to realign ourselves to be in step with the Spirit, because the Spirit of God seeks to bring life and truth. So we are called to be an Acts people. I just want to show you a cartoon, a Peanuts cartoon. It's probably a bit small, you probably can't see it, but I'll read it out to you. So it's Charlie Brown, and he turns to his friend, and he says, sorry, his friend says to him, Charlie Brown, life is like a deck chair. Like what? Haven't you ever been on a cruise ship, Charlie Brown? Passengers open up their canvas deck chairs so they can sit in the sun. Some people place their chairs facing the rear of the ship so they can see where they've been. Other people face their chairs forward. They want to see where they're going. On the cruise ship of life, Charlie Brown, which way is your deck chair facing? Charlie Brown thinks for a moment and replies, gee, I've never been able to get one unfolded. But it's a helpful reminder about what direction are you focusing on? Are you looking backwards or are you looking forwards? On the cruise ship of life, which way are you facing in life? You see, we've been looking these last few weeks, and we looked at Philip a few weeks ago, and the encouragement to be running into the things of God. It's time to stop going, well, when this happens, then I'll do that. Or when this happens, then I'll do it. When I know the Bible more, I'll do this. Or when I'm a better Christian, then I'll do. No, stop it. Run into it. Get on and do it right now. Philip was someone who ran into the things of God. And we looked at last week, Paul, and we looked at that message of which way are you going? What journey are you on? Are you someone who's on the way of Jesus, where there is access and entrance to heaven? Or are you someone who's on your own way? Because when you seek to be on his way, there's a place of encounter. And we looked at how obedience opens up clarity to see where God is taking you. And we also looked at what obstacles are in the way. And Julie brought that word to us last week in church about how she just felt there was a door. A door needs to be flung open, but there's stuff in the way of it being opened up. And I want to kind of carry on that message this morning of being a people who need to clear away stuff that maybe has been bagged up. Maybe we go, yeah, we know that's not right. We know that's not good in our life. But we haven't yet managed to let go of it. And we need to be people who fling open the door so that we can be like Paul, have an encounter with God, so we can then seek to be obedient to God, to find clarity of where he's calling us and leading us to go, and also then see what's in the way. And I said before, haven't I, about how the light of God But light doesn't just show you the way, it shows you what's in the way. If you're in a dark room, if you've got a torch, it doesn't just show you where to go, it shows you what's in the way of you moving forwards. So this morning I want to carry on that theme of thinking about what do we need to clear away, what needs to happen to change in our life so we can be a people who really enter into the opportunity of being a people who enter heaven. A heavenly people. A people who stand in that truth of knowing we have access to heaven all the time. And because of that, we can be an Acts people who seek to bring heaven to earth. Just like XLP have been doing. Bringing hope and the power of God into situations. I love that phrase. We're going to love the hell out of people. We're going to love the hell out of people. The horror that's in people's lives, the sin in people's lives, we're going to love it out of them. And we say, perfect love casts out fear. A people of love. And we can only start loving like that when we understand that we are in this loving relationship with God, which is not bound by anything that we can put in its way. That we have access to God through Christ. It's not about you being good enough. It's not about you being right. It's not about you having the right things that you're doing in your life. It's about just your access to God because of Jesus. And as we enter into this passage this morning, I want to look at Acts 9, starting at 32 to 35. I'm just going to read it to us. So this is a story about Peter now. We've heard about Paul, and now we're going on to Peter. Peter had travelled about the country. He went to visit the saints in Lydda. There he found a man named Irenaeus, a paralytic who had been bedridden for 8 years. Irenaeus, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up, take care of your mat. Immediately Irenaeus got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and trusted in the Lord. So what's going on here? We've got a story which looks like a lot of stories that happened with Jesus. Someone who's paralyzed, who gets made better. Peter is doing the things that Jesus did. It wasn't just Jesus did those things because he was Jesus. This is what we can do through the power of the Holy Spirit if we trust in him. If we dare to step out of our comfort zone and be an Acts people, Spirit-filled, in step with the Spirit. Peter's doing what Jesus did. You too can pray for people who are paralyzed and pray and seek to see them healed. You can do that. Isn't that exciting? The Spirit of God is in us to do amazing miracles. This isn't just stuff for the Bible. This is about us living it today. It still goes on today. And so Peter encounters a man who's paralyzed and he says, get up, pick up your mat and go. And the phrase there that always strikes me is about this idea of pick up your mat. Why is it that when Jesus heals people, he says to them, pick up your mat and move on? Why is this Peter here, said this man, pick up your mat now that you're healed? You see, because that mat speaks about the place of where you've been. If you were paralyzed, you'd sit on a mat and you'd beg for money because you couldn't do anything else. People would drag you out at the beginning of the day, put your mat down, put you on your mat. You sit there all day begging. At the end of the day, people would drag you back in. That's basically what happened. So the mat spoke about where he was. It spoke about what his life represented. That mat was his place of dwelling, where he was currently at in his life. And when Peter says to him, pick up your mat, when Jesus says to people in the Gospels, pick up your mat, what he's saying is, you're now healed. You're now different. Things are now changed. So don't leave the mat there, because you might come back to it. You might come back to where you've been. He says, pick it up, roll it up, sort out the bed, and move it. Because if it stays where it is, the chances are that you might come back to that place that you've been before. He says, now that you're better, now that you can walk, sort it out. Don't let the past remain like it is, otherwise the danger is it will pull you back. And how often is that true in our lives? When we know that God says freedom over us, God speaks freedom over us, there's times when we get a truth of God and we go, wow, it's amazing. And for a few days we're alive and then we sit back into where we've been before. And that truth seems to fade away. That revelation of actually the hope that we have, the new life that we have, fades away. And what often it is the fact that we jump forward into the new, but we don't deal with the old. We don't deal with the past. We don't deal with that place that we have been. We just walk away from it, but it's still there. as something that kind of calls us back. And so Peter says, pick up your mat. Deal with your past. Deal with the hurts. Deal with the unforgiveness. Deal with the fears. Deal with the things that are still there. Because even though you can be a Christian and you can find new life in Jesus, it doesn't mean to say that suddenly overnight, all your fears, all your worries, all the hurts of the past, all the things that have happened to you, all the things that have shaped who you are to this point in time, don't still have an effect upon you. And the Christian life, that running the race we talked about last week of Paul saying about how running that race, is about over life letting the truth of God fill us and bring truth to all of those situations, all of those things. To bring healing to all those hurts. To bring love where there is fear. To bring truth where there is lies. And that is the thing, that's the Christian journey. It doesn't happen overnight. But God is calling us to the people here in Yardley to start clearing away some of that stuff. Clear away some of that clutter. It's time for us to pick up our mats, leave the past in the past, deal with it, let it go, and fling wide the gates of heaven to allow something brand new to take place in our life. See, so often we're waiting for God to move in our lives. We're waiting for God to do something. And God's going, my hands are tied. I've set you free. I've healed you. I've made you this new creation. But until you pick up your mat, I can't let you run into the things I've got for you. Will we let God be Lord over the things that we left behind? Will we let him be God? See, don't let the past paralyze your future. Don't let the past paralyze your future. Don't let who you have been affect who you now are in Christ. Because you are a new creation, you are a new being, and therefore there's new possibility and new hope, and there is new life. But when we keep looking back to that mat, we keep turning back to the things of the past, the place where we are paralyzed, we can never move forward. Until we let go of things that we've been owning, identities that we've had, things that we say, I can't move beyond that. It's time to stop saying, well, I'm no good for God. He can't use me. Stop it. It's a lie. It's a lie. And the more you rehearse that, and the more you say that, even if you're trying to do it in humble piety, you're not. You're just living a lie. And we have to stop telling ourselves lies and live into the hope and the future of God. But God can't break that until we're prepared to let it go. God's a gentleman. He didn't just grab stuff off you. He said, until you give it to me, I can't deal with it. I can't work with it. So no matter how hard you pray, say, Lord, take this from me. If you're not prepared to let it go, he can't take it from you. So you've got to be people who live in the truth of the future and recognize that when you let things go, things will change. And it'll be hard because you'll have to adapt to a new mentality and a new way of life. I've told you this story before about my friend Jenny, who's the mother of my friend Catherine. And I knew Catherine and Jonathan, they're good friends of mine, who are now pastors over in Nuneaton. And they were pastoring, and they were with me in the same church I was at in Cardiff. And their mum, well, Catherine's mum, Jenny, who I know quite well as well, when I knew her, she was on walking sticks. And over the course of a few years of knowing her, she was then in a mobility scooter, then in a wheelchair, and then she couldn't walk. Or she could only take a couple of steps at best. And we prayed for her constantly to get healed. The entire time I was at the church, we were always praying for her to get healed, always praying for her to get healed. And she seemed to get worse and worse and worse. And then I left the church, and about 6 months later, she got healed. So clearly, it was me. But she got miraculously healed and can now walk fine. And then the problem was, she then had this awkward situation where she was now able to walk, and she had an awkward conversation where she had to say to the authorities, I'm sorry, I don't need my blue badge anymore in my car. Because I can now walk, I don't need a blue badge anymore. And suddenly she was horrified because now that she could walk and didn't need a blue badge, she couldn't park where she wanted to. And they're like, oh no. You see, when we've got used to a way of life, living with certain things that we're holding, certain truths that we're telling ourselves, which are not truths, they're lies, but lies that we're living with, it becomes comfortable. And the reason why changing is horrible is because comfort's lovely. We love comfort. I've currently got a duvet on my bed, which is brushed cotton. Anyone got brushed cotton? It's so snuggly. It's like being cuddled. It's wonderful. I don't want to get out of bed in the mornings. It's lovely. When you're comfortable, you don't want to get up. You don't want to move into action because you're comfortable. And when we've lived with certain hurts or certain lies or certain things that have shaped who we are for such a long time, this man's been paralyzed for 8 years. To then say, now that you're paralyzed, now that you can walk, you've got to get a job. You've got to support your family. No longer are you begging from other people, you've now got to take responsibility. And this is kind of the word I think God wants to bring to us this morning, is we've got to start taking responsibility for our own walk. Too often we're saying, God, do this, God, do that. God's going, I can't until you take responsibility. God will do what he does, but we have to do what we do. We have to take responsibility. And the problem is, when you're ill, you feel like a child again, don't you? When you're ill, you're just like, I can't do anything. It's like, bring me food, bring me things that I need. You become really childlike because you're in need. And so often we can live as Christians with hurts and with pains that make us childlike. But it's not childlike, it's childish. When we expect the responsibilities for everyone else to suit our purposes and our plans. And, well, I can't help it because I'm ill or because I'm unwell or because about this about me. I can't help being this, I can't help being that. And we use our current situation as an excuse to treat other people in a different way, to treat people badly or to assume that they should put all their energy into you. That's not the gospel. The gospel is about what you can give to others. And immaturity is about saying, it's all about me. And the reason why we like comfort is because it's all about me. Action's about what I have to do for other people. So often in the Christian life, we get stuck with a mentality or identity that we've grown, shaped over years and years and years of our life. Things that people have said to us, labels that have been stuck on us, hurts that have happened to us, or bad teaching that we've heard. And it shapes us into being this particular thing, and it can make us quite kind of childish. I had a friend of mine, he was in my youth group, he was one of my young people, when I worked in Pershore, and he had a heart problem, quite a bad heart defect. And basically, because he'd had a heart defect, all his life, his parents had basically pandered to every need and whim, because he's ill. And he needs to be pandered to at every little whim. He got into youth group and expected that I was going to treat him the same way. I was like, no. I was like, you're 15. Grow up. Like, can you get me a drink? No, get it yourself. There's the kitchen. Go get it. But you see, when we're in a situation where we're used to receiving all the time, if you're on a mat and you're paralyzed, all you can do is beg from others. Peter meets him, transforms his life, and suddenly now he has to take responsibility for himself. We have to pick up our mat, pick up the things of the past, roll them away so we don't come back to sitting into that place of self-pity. Woe is me. All of us have had bad stuff happen to us. All of us have had bad pasts. All of us have had things happen to us we don't particularly like. You're not special or unique. We've all had it happen to us. And so we need to take responsibility and say, okay, that's what it is, but I'm not going to own it to give me self-pity. I'm going to move forward and let God deal with it. We have a choice about taking responsibility in our lives to walk into the things of the new. We then get to the story of Peter, and he meets someone called Tabitha, who's dead. And he moves to a different place, and Tabitha, or someone called Dorcas, who makes clothes for different people and she gives to the needy, she's died. And Peter rocks up and she's dead, and there's lots of widows there, and all the widows are crying. And they're showing Peter all the things that Tabitha used to make. And Peter walks in, clears them all out, gets down on his knees, prays, speaks to Tabitha and says, get up. And she comes back from dead, she comes back to life again. And in the same way as we just talked about this previous story, this story reminds us again about the things that we need to change in order to see God start moving in our lives in a more powerful way. So we can clear away some of that stuff to allow the gates of heaven to fling open to allow his blessing to pour into, in and through us. You see, first of all, it says, when Peter gets there, the situation is Tabitha's dead, It says, the widows are stood around. They're crying, and they're looking at the things that she had made in the past. So what we learn from this is, first of all, the question I want to ask you this morning is, who's around you? Who stood around you? What voices are you listening to? And what are you focusing on? See, the widows were stood around Tabitha, who's dead. And they're the people who are around. They are people who understand death. They're widows. They know what death is like. And so they're living going, oh, isn't death terrible? It is terrible. And they're crying. The voice that is being heard is the wailing cry of people who are upset. And in that culture, when someone dies, it wasn't just like, I'm a bit sad, I'm going to have a bit of a cry. You would wail and you would shout. And you might see it on the news when you see in the Middle East when someone's dead. And everyone's going, it's not kind of just because they're overcome with emotion. It's because that's culturally what you do. You weep and you cry out loud and you make the biggest noise you possibly can to declare the fact that someone's died. So this wasn't just a little bit of like they're a bit teary. This was they were wailing and crying out loud. And they're saying, look at what she used to do. Tabitha, look at what she used to make. Look at what she used to be. Their focus is on the past. Who stood around you in your life? It says in Psalm 1 about what's influencing you. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the way of the mocker or sit in the seat of the wicked or sit on the cover of the rest of the verse now. But what it's saying is, who's around you? Because you're blessed if you don't listen to the wrong counsel. Who are the people who are shaping your life? Who are the voices you listen to? It's particularly hard if you're someone who works. Because you're often in a workplace that isn't Christian. And the voices that you hear and the things that infiltrate into your life, the gossip and the nitpicking and the things like that, can be really hard not to take notice of. Who are the people around you? What are they like? What's the voice that they've got? What are they saying? Are they speaking things of encouragement and life, or are they bringing you down? Are they speaking about death? Are they speaking about things that don't bring life? And then what's the focus? Is focus on what happened in the past? Is it always reminiscing about what was, or how I'm this, or how I'm that? You see, what Peter then does, is the first thing he does, he changes the environment he's in. He clears them out. He says to the widows, get out, basically. He clears them out of the room where Tabitha is. He's saying, this isn't helpful. You wailing, you weeping, you crying, you showing me all the things that Tabitha was, isn't helpful. So he clears it out. He changes the environment that he's in. He actively takes control of the situation and he changes the environment. Then what does he do? He gets on his knees and he prays. What does he do? He changes the voice he's listening to. Rather listening to the crying, the weeping and the wailing that speaks of death, he gets on his knees and he prays. He listens to God's voice. But he then declares with authority, so rather than just listening, he speaks the truth of God. Rather than listening to the lie that Tabitha's dead, he listens to the truth that this woman can live. If he listened to the wailing widows, all he would have heard is, there is no hope here. She is dead. This is a hopeless situation. But what he chooses to do is he chooses to listen to God and then declare the truth that God can bring life where there is death. That's what God can do. And he speaks with authority to Tabitha and he says, get up. Get up. You see, he changes his focus from the thing that she was to the thing that she's going to be. And in faith, he puts his faith into action in obedience by saying to her, get up. Change the situation. So as Christians, we need people who take responsibility for what we can change. And let God do the changing that only he can do. But we've got to stop living with the things of the past and start entering into the new identity that we have in Christ. And that's hard. That's not easy. It's not an overnight thing. It's letting God encounter you, bring truth into your life, letting it root into your spirit and your soul so that it brings life where there was death. It takes time. But it starts with understanding that the things of the past need to be picked up, rolled up, and dealt with. You can't just leave them there. Otherwise, they'll drag you backwards and draw you backwards. It's like the voice of the widows crying, and you start going, oh, well, it's all a bit bad, it's all a bit this. No, clear it away. Deal with those things. Move it out so that actually there can be the truth of God comes into the situation. Peter says, the situation, according to everyone else, is bleak, and there is death. Peter comes in and goes, no, with God, the dead can live. He clears it away. And see, he does exactly the same thing that Jesus does with the raising of Jairus' daughter. Peter isn't doing anything brand new here. This is exactly what Jesus does. He gets to a situation where Jairus' daughter's dead, everyone's weeping and wailing, and there's funeral songs going on. He clears them out and then says, I'm going to shut the door on that so the miracle can take place. We have to shut the door to see the miracle take place. Often what we're wanting to do is we want to see the miracle take place, and then we'll go, okay, God, I'll shut that door on that thing, and I'll move into something different. God says, I will transform you. I will bring change to you, but you have to let it go. Stop rehearsing lies over your life. Stop living under the things that you've been going, well, I have a problem with this. I've always had a problem with this. Well, stop it then. Stop it. Let's not live under the curse of death, but live under the truth of life. Pick up our mats and walk into new life. Clear away the stuff that's dead and find new life. That's what God's saying to us right now as a church. And it could be stuff in this church, for some of you, still about the past, what's happening in this church. For some of you, you still haven't got over what happened previously. Some of you who are new here haven't got a clue what I'm talking about. Great. Praise God for that. But for some of you, you haven't got over it still. There's people you haven't forgiven. There's people who you've never dealt with those things with. Get over it. Shut the door on it. Because when you keep dwelling on it, you'll always be brought back to that, and that's what controls your life. And you can never fully grasp the future because you're always scared that it's going to end up being what the past was. For other people in our lives, it could be relationships that have gone sour. We need to go, I need to walk away from that now and step into the new thing rather than dwelling on what that was, because it will always draw you back to, oh, what happens again? There are things in life we need to step away from and say, it's time, pick up our mat, roll it up, and walk away from that. Live in this truth. If there's something you constantly, if you're always feeling condemned by God, always feeling you're not good enough, that's a lie. So we need to say, that's a lie, speak out that that is a lie, roll up our mat and put it aside and say, no, that is not true. Can you rehearse that? It becomes real in your life. Speak life, not death. Because James says, doesn't he, the tongue's like a rudder that controls the direction of your life. If you keep speaking lies over yourself, you'll start believing it. It will direct where you go. We need to roll up our mats, put it aside, deal with the past, deal with those hurts, deal with those things, and basically get a bit more mature about it and take ownership of stuff, take responsibility and say, okay, God, I'm going to start dealing with some of this stuff. Letting you into the space. If you don't change, you'll always be what you've always been. I want to be someone who grows more into the image and likeness of Christ. I can only do that when I choose to walk into the things of Him rather than always being drawn back to what I was. And it's a constant battle. But it's like the Israelites in the desert. They were set free from slavery, but the mentality was still of slaves. They weren't free because they were, in their heads they were still slaves, even though they're living in freedom. And we need to change our mentality to stop being people who are slaves and say, I'm now free, therefore the implications of that are, I can live a free life, I can live a new life. Don't let your past and the mentality that's been built up in the past direct and shape your future. It hasn't got to. And I'm not saying those things didn't happen. I'm not saying those things haven't affected us. I'm not saying those things, maybe for a season, weren't real. What I'm saying is we don't have to own that into the future of being something that controls us and shapes where we're going. Your past does not need to paralyze your future, because God's grace cuts through that and brings life and new hope. What we're going to do now is we're going to respond to God in this time. And this morning what we're going to do is we're going to come to the foot of the cross and we're going to say, God, here's something in my life that is a bit of baggage that I need to let go of. And with your help, will you work in this situation in my life? It can be one thing, it can represent several things. You're not going to write on it, it's just going to represent it for you. I don't want to make you feel you have to write things down. Just feel free to hold it, to think about it for a moment. What's something this morning? Maybe it's a lie you keep telling yourself, saying, I'm not good enough. Maybe it's something in your past you think, actually, it's time to shut the door on that, let it go, and move forward. Maybe it's something that you just need to deal with, sin, ongoing sin that keeps holding you back, just saying, actually, God, I just let it go to you. Whatever it might be this morning that you need to let go of. Maybe it says unforgiveness in your heart towards someone. What things do you need to let go of this morning? What baggage is currently in your life? What hurt, what things are in the way of that door that could be flung open to God? What are the things stopping you really going for it for Jesus, because actually there's some baggage? That you know it's there, you know it's not right, but you just can't quite let go of yet. Because God wants to bring freedom. This isn't about me trying to condemn us this morning, it's about me saying we can live free lives. But God doesn't do it by magic. It's a relationship, which is give and take, where he does what he does, but we need to do what we do and take some responsibility to say, actually, God, I'm going to actively give it to you. As we sing this next song, I'm going to invite you to come and bring that thing, that tag, and just lay it at the foot of the cross. He died so that we can have future. He died so that we can have that new life. So we can follow in his way and his will. So what is it? Is it resentment? Is it anxiety? Is it worry? Is it fear? Is it hurt? Is it pain? What is it? Maybe it's time just to say, God, I just need to give this back to you. I need to let go of this and let more of your life fill me this morning. So as we sing this song, I'm going to invite you to come forward when you feel ready and bring your tag and lay it at the foot of the cross. Let's just take a moment to pause, to think about what that thing might be, and then I'll invite you to come forward. Just take a moment to stop and pray. Father God, our lives are full of our past. Our lives are full of things that have happened to us, things that have shaped us, things that have bound us, ways of thinking, ways of being. Lord, we don't want to be self-pitying people. We want to be people who just lay it at the foot of the cross and say, God, have your way, bring new life. I actively give it back to you, God. I'm going to pick up my mat this morning and lay it at the foot of the cross and walk into new life, no matter how uncomfortable that might be. So in the power of Jesus' name, we pray a breaking of these things this morning. That as each one is laid at the foot of the cross, there'll be power in the name of Jesus to break what's been binding. Amen. So as the band begin to sing, I'm going to invite you to come forward and bring your tag and lay it at the foot of the cross if you'd like to. And then we're going to enter into a time of worship. Feel free to stand or sit as you'd like to, as we respond to God. The man with the mat. He didn't just forget his past. He rolled it up and took it with him. But it was no longer the place that he was going to sit. It was no longer the thing that was going to shape his identity. Isn't about saying we get rid of the past and say it didn't happen. Our past is our past. What's happened has happened. We still own that, but it no longer is the place that shapes where we sit or the place that shapes what we can and can't do. When Peter goes into that room, he clears out the things that are unhelpful and he has to refocus that situation of death into a situation of life. And what does he do? He falls on his knees and he worships and he prays. When things seem too much, when we just don't know what to do, when there just seems so much death or there seems so much things which are not bringing life to us, the hardest thing to do is to turn to God and worship. But it's the thing that refocuses our life and puts his perspective back into play. So we're going to continue just to worship God. As we do that, we're refocusing on who he is and his truth, rather than focusing on the things of death, the things that have been, the things that could have been. Don't let the past paralyze your future. If we live by the spirit of freedom, let's walk in step with that freedom. Let's not live under lies. Let's not live under fear, anxiety and worry. Let's live under faith, hope and truth. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be with you and those that you love this day and evermore. Amen.